JoeBucksFan.com presents Bucks Game Day with Ozzy, the sports junkie.
It's time to get your
Start your Bucks Sunday with insight and outrage. Get your head out of your ass.
It's a madhouse!
All season at JoeBucksFan.com.
A madhouse!
All right, Ozzy back for the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast, heading into preseason game number 4. God almighty, I'm ready to have my eyeballs taken out and replaced because I've jammed a fork in him. I can't take another second of horrific football. And well, last Saturday was as ugly as it gets, but you know something? I'm not going to put too much into it. Where this team will look great in preseason and shit the bed in the regular season and vice versa. They're not as good as they look or not as bad as they look. Let's hope. I know who is looking good. My next guest joins me. A longtime buddy of mine, more importantly, a football aficionado. Like, I put this guy in the top three of football brains that I know. Josh Moffitt joins us. Josh, how are you, my friend? Welcome to the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast. I know you're a huge Joe Bucks fan as well.
I am, Ozzy. Glad to be back on the radio with you. It's been a long time.
You and I go way back at least a decade in radio. Sarasota, we had a lot of fun back in the days. But the one thing that I do recall is ingrained in my head is your football knowledge. And you're not only that. Your parents went back to day one of Buccaneer football season ticket holders, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Absolutely.
So behind you there is the Bucko Brews orange. Like myself, if you cut us, orange and little trickles of red come out.
A little pewter.
You know, I was so optimistic about this Buccaneer team, and I remain optimistic because before we get into the 2019 edition, this 10-year quagmire, this circle of doom since the day they let Gruden go, they've had two winning seasons. And it just seems to be spinning and spinning and spinning. And we see a little bit of glimmer of hope. The last glimmer of hope we had as Buccaneer fans, personally, was that 5 or 6 game winning streak back 2-3 years ago, going into a Dallas game that they shit the bed. And then the following Sunday was the Doug Martin drug suspension. And they haven't been relevant since, Josh. I mean, they've tried every coach under the sun. Young guy, old guy, hard ass. They went back to Lovey. He was brain dead. They go with a hot assistant, Dirk Cutter. A great guy on paper. I mean, all this and all the decisions at the time seem like the right move. It's like they can't get out of their own way. What's your take on the whole thing?
I think a lot of it has to do with the Glazers themselves. Once the old man died, they put all their interest in Manchester United. You've seen no real commitment to the team, no real commitment to the community. I'd love to say that they're trying to put together a winner, but I just haven't seen it.
Well, they spent a lot of money in free agency. I mean, they dumped a ton of money into that defensive line last year. The two guys from Philadelphia, Curry and Bo Allen, who did nothing. I mean, there's so much wasted. How about the JR? I keep going back to it, but JR Sweezy, who made $8 million, he shows up with a broken leg. How the fuck do you sign a free agent with a broken leg?
Well, that's Jason Light. That's when you have bad management at the top, and it goes all the way down to coaching. But the way I look at it is they have the third highest paid offensive line in the NFL. And
wow.
It's got to be in the bottom three. You've got three offensive linemen that are all making over $10 million a year. You look at Donovan Smith and DeMar Dotson, you know, with Ryan Jensen, and those are probably the three of the worst offensive linemen I've seen in the NFL this season.
I'll tell you what, I'm never a guy, and I'm going to this season even keel with our boy Jameis Winston. I will support him until he shows me otherwise. He had no chance Saturday night. You talk about on the back-to-back sacks. They took it every way you can sack a quarterback. They came around the two tackles, like the literal swinging door. Mm-hmm. Then they came straight through the guards. They were throwing everybody, including the kitchen sink, and the kitchen sink had two sacks. That offensive line, could it be that bad? If it's that bad, we're not going to win a game.
No, they are that bad. Granted, Cleveland Browns do have a good defense. Jared, you know, he's great, and you look at everyone they have across the front, but to give up 15 sacks in 3 preseason games, I know there's a lot of, you know, kinks you're working out, but you know, Bruce Arians is steadfast in the fact that he's happy with this offensive line. You know, he's not allowing them to play the full game together. I mean, I would put those bums out there for the whole game. You've got Donovan Smith, who's acting like he's some sort of a team captain and a leader. He's the biggest revolving door that we have out there.
You know what disturbs me, Josh, is when I see Donovan Smith standing next to our quarterback, and our quarterback is not only taller but thicker.
Yeah.
I want that your left tackle's got to be your top. He's got to be the biggest player on your team, literally, and the most physical. I want a Donald Penn door person. I want a guy who's about 4 feet wide.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, he's got Donovan Smith has chicken legs. He's got little girly legs.
Yeah, out of the five stars, you've got one guy in Ali Marpet that would actually start on another NFL team. But other than that, I wouldn't put any of the other four starters on this team as even the third best third string offensive lineman on any other NFL
team. What do you make of this Ryan Jensen cat that we got from the Baltimore, who came over with all this high praise? Maybe there's a reason they let him go.
There was no high praise. He just had this mantra that he was this moniker that he was a tough guy.
Yeah, I've seen nothing. I've seen
nothing. No leadership, no blocking skills. I mean, you're not going to have a running back that's going to have over 600 yards behind this line. It's a sieve.
If that's the best they have, what depth do they have? Boozer?
I thought that Caleb Benenacht was bad as a starter last year, probably one of the worst players I've ever seen. But then you throw in this kid, Alex Kappa. Again, a Jason Light trying to be cute, trying to get a guy out of Division II football, trying to find a diamond in the rough, and it's going to backfire. The Kappa doesn't know what he's doing. You move Benenacht to tackle, so now you've got some undrafted free agent playing backup guard, and then you bring in Earl Wofford from the Browns and the Cardinals. Earl Wofford might be, you know, building him up to be a starter. It's going to be really bad, and I'll tell you what, it's going to be the detriment of this team is that offensive line is going to, you know, create so many issues for this team that it's going to be a 5-11 season because of the offensive line.
And for a quarterback like Winston, who has, I mean, he needs as much help as he can get back there. He needs a running game, which they did not have last year. Praying that Rojo Jones, you know, you saw him in two series. I couldn't believe game one and two. I understand injuries. You don't want to get your starters hurt. And we see that our backup quarterback, Gabbert, broke. It looked like he broke his arm completely.
No, they're saying he's going to come back. I don't know if they'll put him on the PUP list to keep him out for the first 6 weeks and just go with Ryan Griffin. And you know, an interesting little gem that we have this this Thursday night is the return of Attestaverde at quarterback.
How crazy is that? I was saying, what would the success rate be for Vincent Attestaverde? I know he doesn't have his father's size.
No,
I saw him. He's a short little guy.
I think he ended up at like Toledo or Akron, one of those teams.
Hey, we're not afraid of Toledo quarterbacks, Gradkowski.
Bruce Gradkowski.
Why not?
Is he still in the NFL?
Probably.
He's probably shagging strings somewhere.
I know that Josh...
McCown? Oh, Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson's still pulling
with
11, a check.
11 NFL teams.
Yeah.
11.
Successful with none.
Yeah.
He was a Gruden guy.
He was.
You name the shit quarterback and they come through Tampa Bay. I don't mean to paint gloom and doom for the entire season. We'll see what happens. But on the bright side, you give me something you like. How about Mike Evans? Godwin's poised to break out if they can get the ball to him. And then you got O.J. Howard, who's just a superstar in the wings waiting to put up gigantic numbers. I found it odd that they signed Cam Brate to a long-term contract. It's like they have one man too many. They could have spent that other better places, I thought.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just like we were talking with the offensive line, you know, bring in some other players. But I'm telling you right now that you're going to see a completely different team after Sunday. I guarantee that Bruce Arians is going to hit the waiver wire like no other team in the NFL. You look at the receivers they have, great receiving. You know, they're solid there. They got Evans, Godwin. They picked up Rashard Perryman, who, if you remember, at UCF, he's a real burner.
He is a burner. He was the odd man out of Cleveland.
He was odd, but when he was in Baltimore, he just didn't have hands. But I think he's come around. I think he's going to be a surprise.
What do you make of Scotty Miller? I don't think he makes the team.
Nah, he's going to have to make the team because he's a fourth-round draft pick.
That doesn't guarantee anything with this team.
You know, it doesn't.
He did nothing in preseason.
Justin Watson. I think he's a big receiver as a fifth. But you look at Bobo Wilson. He's you know, it's going to be Scotty. It's going to be Scotty Miller or Bobo Wilson. And then, you know, with Winston's familiarity with Bobo at Florida State, it always gives him kind of an edge. And the fact that Bobo is returning punts takes Scotty Miller. I watched Scotty Miller, and there wasn't a guy within 20 yards of him in the preseason game, and he was calling for a free.
Speaking of returning kicks, if Rojo Jones is half of our running back committee, feel free to get him out of there for kickoffs.
No, the kid was good at USC, but he was not a between-the-tackles runner. I'll tell you what, Arians brings in his guy, Andre Ellington, who I think's playing way better than Rojo. And with that being said, I think that if anyone's going to take the hit, it's going to be Ronald Jones. I mean,
he making? He's making on a rookie deal? Who knows? Three, maybe?
No, I don't think he's making that much. He's probably making around $1 million. But still, with that being said, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to cut a guy that's a second-round draft pick again. Roberto Aguayo debacle. He was a second-round draft pick they've cut.
I got crucified for the Jeremy McNichols pick because I said it was a second round. I stand corrected. It was a fifth round, but they had him penciled in not as a starter, but as an actual player to make. He didn't make the freaking squad out of training camp.
He was a stud at Boise State. He was breaking all Doug Martin's records, but are you seeing what he's doing now?
What is he doing now?
He's starting.
Where?
I think he's at Denver.
You're shitting me.
Maybe a second rounder, but or a second a backup. But he's still in the league, still doing better than any of our guys.
He never even made the team. He got
But I don't think they gave him a chance. But here they are giving this, you know, Ronald Jones way too much rope.
Well, he did nothing last year. From what I hear is that Rojo, well, it's no secret, he had some kind of social anxiety problem last year. How do you play for fucking USC and you're afraid of people? They have 100,000 people there every Saturday.
Hey, keep an eye on this. What's his name? Dar.
Dare Uguenbagwe. I say, man, you know, setting a precedent, Josh, and I love it. And it's a copycat league. This backup quarterback in New Orleans, who does everything. He's a kick returner, a safety, a tight end, a backup quarterback. He returns punts. He'll punt probably if you need him to. I love this quarterback in New Orleans who could do everything.
What's his name? Tristan Smith or
something of that.
He's out of BYU. I know that.
They bring him in and they'll line up Breeze at wide receiver and they'll pull a quick. He's unbelievable.
He throws for 200 yards a game.
And why wouldn't you utilize every single talent that you have on the? It always boggles my mind that they keep a guy just for kickoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's ridiculous. Tomorrow night in Dallas, do you think that Griffin plays at all? If Griffin goes down, you have no backup quarterback who knows the plays.
No, you don't. But then again, you just brought in Vincent Jr. Just the other day.
So, right.
I mean, he was gone for 2 weeks. And 2 weeks during the preseason is a huge amount of time to lose.
Well, basically, so tomorrow night's game plan is not to get anybody injured.
You got to go with RG4 because, I mean, Ryan Griffin, you have to because he's the only guy that can get the show on the road. Because, I mean, basically – what you're looking at is you've got two quarterbacks. You're not going to put Jameson on the fourth preseason game.
Absolutely.
So you're gonna go with Ryan probably to the halftime, but then you got to see what you've got in Vincent because you know I'm not a big Blaine Gabbert. Not going to be any good this year, especially with the separated shoulder, which is probably going to put him out 6 weeks.
Yeah, he's going to maybe be back by the halfway point of the season.
And I can't imagine what you're paying a guy that he's a first round draft pick, former first round draft pick out of Jacksonville. I can't imagine what you're paying him.
Speaking of being drafted in 2013, poor Ryan Griffin. 2013, 6 years in the league. Mm-hmm. He's never taken a snap in the regular season. They say he's putting film together for other teams. This guy's got a 17-hour highlight reel because all he does is play three games for us every year, yet he fails to see the field. I thought last year when he came in, he put on some muscle. He looks like a poor man's Matt Ryan. He's got a little muscle on him. Hey, give the kid a shot. But if Ryan Griffin is starting by week three or four or anything, something's gone horribly wrong, and then Arians probably explodes on the sidelines. I got a disturbing stat. I don't know if you heard it. It's that Coach Arians has not made an entire season behind the bench as a head coach without one hospital stay. So you got to figure it's nice and cool down there on the sidelines in September, October, four pick Sundays. All you're going to see is a big blotch and a little red cap because he's just going to fucking explode.
He is.
I mean, we're going gloom and doom here.
I think what he did is he's brought in the two guys he wants to groom the most to take over. You know, he brings in Byron Leftwich on the offensive side, and he brings in Todd Bowles at the defensive side. And I think that he's already seeing the fact that he probably really only has 2 years in the game. And so what he's trying to do is he's trying to groom Leftwich to be the signal caller and the offensive guru. And he's got Bowles, who's got head coaching experience with the Jets, to take over. And I think that if he does decide to leave after 1 or 2 years, he's already setting it up for that. So the thing that baffles me the most is the people that are making the decisions with the team, mainly Jason Light, who just got a 5-year extension. The guy's 27 and 52.
I mean, it's horrific.
I've never seen a GM that has that bad of a record get any sort of a
And what's worse, extension. Josh, his draft picks or his free agents?
I'd have to say both. Look at this offensive line. Like I said, he's got three guys making over $10 million. If you cut all three of those guys, then you get to bring in – you can go make a trade for a Javion Clowney. You can go out and pick up the Trent Williams from Washington. You can actually afford –
oh, he's a beast.
You can actually afford these guys that want out, but we can't even – you can't even be in the conversation because we have no money.
You know as well as I do why Light got the extension, because Bucko Bruce wanted it, and that's how he got into Tampa Bay. He wouldn't have come in unless he got his guy there, which means he's controlling all the shots.
Well, they were together in Arizona.
He was not given that extension based on his performance. I mean,
no,
come on.
No, absolutely not. It's a package deal, and I think that if this year goes poorly, which I can't imagine it going any better than 6-10, then the heat's on him again. Arians, the heat's on him again. You know, everyone's saying that he's going to be the guy that's going to come in and save this franchise. What has he done? He took over a Chuck Pagano team in Indianapolis and won, but that was set in place for him.
True.
He came into Arizona and they had a nice run, but then the wheels came off and then he quit. You know, he had two bad seasons. He quit. He walked away. So what means he's going to come back in here and be some sort of a savior that he really never has been before?
Well, what was our options? To keep Dirk Cutter? That wasn't going to happen.
No.
Was there anybody else that you liked out there? I guess it's a little late to ask you that now.
No, I think that Arians was the choice, but again, I don't think he's a savior. I think that he's a stopgap until one of these other guys can take over. And with that being said, I think light is tied to Arians and vice versa.
Oh,
so,
if one goes, the other goes. No, if light, yeah, could you imagine a situation where light gets clipped and Arians sticks around?
No.
They're a package deal.
Yeah, what's going to happen is you're going to, if we have two bad seasons back to back, then
they're both gone.
You're going to look at what's better, the defense and the offense. Who's playing better? If the defense is playing well, then you offer Todd Bowles a job. If the offense is playing well, then you give Byron Leftwich the keys to the castle. But you know, I'm really hoping that I'm wrong. But from what I've seen so far in these first three preseason games, there's very little optimism with this team. I mean, if you don't have an offensive line, you can't run. And if you have a quarterback that has such poor decision-making skills as Jameis Winston, and you give him no time, then that's going to increase his interception rates. That's going to make it harder for the team. You know, play-action pass is not going to be existent because you can't run the ball. So if you don't have an offensive line, this team's going to go down in flames. And right now, from what I'm seeing, even in the backup realm, it's not going to go the way that they want it to go. So don't be surprised if the Bucs, you know, bring in three or four of the other team's cuts on Sunday and their guys are starting the following weekend. I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow, self-help and motivational speaker Josh Moffitt here. He's just gloom and doom. He's already writing the obituary for this year's 2019 Buccaneers. But, hey, how the hell can I argue with you? It's been a shit show for 10 years, and I couldn't argue a single point you just made. Let's look at the defensive side of the ball quickly here. He's Josh Moffitt. He's a football guru savant. I got a kick out of the story. You literally had your own draft board as a kid. This is way before computers or internet.
Oh, it was. It was Mel Kiper III. I used to have the printer where you have to rip the sides off. I have a three-ring binder, and I used to watch yacht racing on ESPN just to watch the ticker go along the bottom.
Oh, my God.
My parents would lose their mind. I'd watch all 12 rounds, and I'd know who the 13th pick was in the 12th round. And
you had a very interesting conversation with one Raheem Morris prior to a draft.
I did. I said that I was a draft guru, and Raheem says, "Oh, let's see what you can do, kid." And I said, "All right." He goes, "Name off your first name. Give me my seven picks." I gave it to him. I wrote it down. He took a picture of it. Next thing you know, I got six of the seven right.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
that is absolutely incredible. The conversation, and I recall the names, and I was like, he got another one.
Yeah.
He got another one. He got another one. Anyway.
Well, you just looked at need, and you could just put it together with.
My aunt had balls. She'd be my uncle. Exactly. Anyways, Josh Moffitt is my guest. He's going to be sitting in bi-monthly, so to say. I'm going to be out and about, and if it's in Sarasota, you can count on a Josh Moffitt appearance. God damn it, Josh. I want to bring some pride back into being a Buccaneer fan, because as you know, you grew up in this town. Your parents were season ticket holders from day one. You're a season ticket holder. Something about a football team, man, gets in your blood, and you get kind of very defensive about it. And when somebody goes, "Oh, you're still wearing that hat?" You're fucking right. I'm going to wear the hat. I wear it when we're 0-16. I wear it when we're 16-0. You got a problem with it?
Exactly.
I'm not no phony front-running fan, because I've been through the shit seasons. I sat in the old sombrero and watched Vinny, and I was behind all these guys, man. I thought Vinny was the guy. I thought Dilfer was the guy. I thought Freeman was the guy. Hell, I thought the throwing Samoan was the guy.
Yeah, Jack Thompson.
Jack Thompson.
Yeah, Steve DeBerg. I mean, you look at them all. No other team. You look at the Browns. They're coming back. You look at all these other teams that have had their run. No other team in the NFL has been so low as we have. I mean, you look at the other teams that are down. They were up 3 years ago, 4 years ago, even 10 years ago.
And you know why we had to draft a middle linebacker? Because we couldn't afford Quan Alexander, who was ready and primed to be a starting linebacker. A stud. He played the first three games of last year before he got hurt. He was playing like a man on fire. They would have had the money to re-sign Quan. They could have got a left tackle. They could have looked at a running back. They're like making up for bad decisions with his draft picks. Now they're trying to cover their ass now.
Yeah, that's not how you're,
no, you, that's not you, how you can't team. Blow third and fourth round picks every year, because those are guys who start.
Yeah, but you can't line up a team full of 21, 22-year-olds, you know, with 1 year, 2 years of NFL experience and expect to win ball games. You just can't do it.
Well, let's look at the defensive side quickly. On the Ozzie the Sports Junkie, Joe Bucks Fan Podcast, I'm going to put a pregame show out there, Josh, that's going to set people on their freaking ears. I don't care what year it is. People still party in the parking lot. And now it's the Bluetooth generation. You can turn my show on when you get there. God forbid we get a meaningful game in Raymond James Stadium this season, maybe in the next 3 years. They got balls charging $40. How about getting a weed eater or something up there? $40 and you got to walk in a swamp and the water's this deep. And you get to the stadium, you're pissed off already. But I digress. Let's look at that defensive side of the ball. I think it's not as bad as people have it painted out to be. What's your take on the defensive back situation? I think I'm starting to see a little bit of cohesiveness. The MJ Stewarts, the Carlton Davises, Looks like Vernon Hargreaves that suddenly wants to play football again.
Don't do that. Don't bring in him.
What?
Don't.
You got a problem with him?
Oh,
Jesus, he's getting all mean and vile in here.
First, ninth pick overall. Give me a break. But you look at the
defense. Get him a cold one. Jesus, how long have we been sitting here without having a coldie? Need more and more and more coldies.
I've never seen a team draft as many defensive backs.
They draft five every year, and they still don't know who's going to start.
They don't know. I don't see it. I do see the fact that I think they finally have some good safety play this year. You know, they got Justin Evans coming back. I really like him. You know,
I saw that. He's looking healthy again because he looked great the first year he was on the field for this team. Last year he missed a lot.
I really like Jordan Whitehead. I think he's great. You know, you bring in all these draft picks at corner. It looks like Davis is going to be a player. You got Murphy Bunting out of Does he even make the team?
Central he's had a Michigan. Horrible preseason.
Yeah, he was really. They really gassed him up,
and he's falling on the wrong side of Arians.
But I'll tell you what, Mike Edwards out of Kentucky, that kid can lay some wood.
What do you make of the linebackers? What do you think of our LSU number one pick? I mistakenly called him Kevin James.
Devin White.
Yeah, I called him Kevin James, so he's mall cop as far as I'm concerned all season. Sorry about that, Buck fans.
I think Devin White is gonna be a stud. I think the fact that they have so much confidence in him to actually have – he wears the green dot helmet, so he's going to be calling the plays.
Sure.
So Todd Bowles is calling the plays to a rookie, which really tells you how great he's going to be. You put him next to a Levante David, who's a perennial all-pro every season, you know, a consummate professional. He's going to be a stud. And then you bring in a Deion Buchanan, who's an Arians guy that was with the Cardinals, undersized, kind of a hybrid safety linebacker guy, but has a lot of speed. And, you know, you're running that 3-4. You've got your big boys up front, and you bring in – you've got Anthony Nelson, who you drafted, Iowa, who's a big body.
Corn-fed boy.
Yeah, he's 6'9".
I haven't seen a lot of him in the preseason. Well, maybe it's the second half. I've been passed out.
He's been hurt, but you get Barrett and Nasib in there. I think the defense is going to keep us in games.
Barrett came over from Denver supposedly with a lot of hype. You see him making a difference at all?
I think he has to. I think that he off the edge, he has to make a difference. The one guy
you're
that
exactly
I
think, right in that 3-4 defense. Some linebacker. That's where I think Carl Nassib, who came over, he shows flashes of really being a player, man.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching him at Syracuse. I watched him on Hard Knocks when he was with the Browns.
Sure,
I thought he was a great player. The fact that they cut him and we were able to just pick him up,
I think he blew my mind. He's a stud waiting in the wings. I mean, somebody's got to step up on that line. It's a shame JPP got hurt because it'd really be nice and Vita Vey. But Vey, is he even good to go for opening day? Have you got an update on that?
So far, he's not going to be able to play up. He's probably the second or third game he's going to come in. So, again, you're looking at...
He was getting the game, though, dude. I was poo-pooing him all last season until about week 10. He got the game about week 10. He looked like a man on fire.
I think Bo Allen's a bust free agent signing.
Complete disaster.
You look at William Golston. He's got to have naked pictures of someone because he's still
on
the roster.
How did he get $4 million? He's got two sacks, I think, in 3 years. I said he was a bum last year. They tried to run me out of town.
I think Ndamukong Suh is going to be what he is. I think he's going to be a pivotal player for the inside of the line. I think he's going to be a disruptor. If you can get him playing inside, Vita Vea back, and then you bring in, say, geez, even like a Terry Buckner Jr., who they got out of Missouri. You bring in somebody like that that's young. Roaches picked him up off the trash pile, and the guy's actually been playing well. If any of these guys can show out, and then you've got their linebacker core that I think is going to be one of the best in the league, I think that we'll be okay. That's going to keep us in game.
Ira Kaufman mentioned early on in camp, watch for the Buccaneers to be players late in camp. You see a lot of action and a lot of movement after Thursday night's game.
There will not be a more active team than the Buccaneers when it comes to picking up free agents.
If you had to put a gun to your head, going to have a better season, the offense or defense?
Oh, it's got to be the defense. I think the offense is going to be putrid. I think the fact that you're going to have no time to, you know, no running game, no time to throw the ball. And then you've got 15 defensive backs that are all in their first or second year in the league. You know, I'm
Josh Moffitt, football guru, savant. You just made a ton of friends on JoeBucksFan.com. I can't wait to read the fallout because I can already see them just tapping away at their keyboards. This guy doesn't know shit. Get them both off the fucking air. Well, we're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And I'm already working kickoff explosive package for that pregame opener. A week from this Sunday, I don't give a crap, man. Anything can happen. Did you see us going into New Orleans last year and winning game one? Hell no. Did you see us winning game two against the Eagles and disgustingly humid Ray J? We were the hottest team in football last year, and then it went right into the shitter. Maybe we can go three games this year.
I'd like to win three games.
Oh, Jesus, God. I'm going to go kill myself. All right, Josh, good to hear your voice, kind of.
Thanks, Ozzy, for having
me. I know you shoot from the hip. You're going to sugarcoat
it. I'm a realist. I've been sitting in that stadium since I was 5 years old.
Exactly.
I've seen it all.
I need your passion, and that's what we bring here on the Ozzy the Sports Junkie Joe Bucks Fan podcast is passion. like I said, and that helmet represents us. We've sat through 30 years of shit and rose to the top, and now we're back to the maybe bouncing off the bottom. Dead cat bounce, as they like to say in the stock market. I'm hoping for, how about a competitive season? How about a competitive 6-10?
If we were competitive 6-10, I'd be happy.
You'll take that?
I'll take it.
This segment brought to you by Native Sun Painting. Somebody wants to get their house painted, interior, exterior. Josh Moffitt's the guy to call. How do people get a hold of you for Native Sun Painting?
Give me a call at 941-350-6543. We do commercial, residential, and industrial painting.
And I'm here to tell you, beautiful job. Don't take painting into your own hands. Let a professional do it. I never knew the difference between a professional painting job and a hack job. Let your girlfriend or wife paint something. You come home and like, fuck is going on in here? You have tape all over the floor. Why is the living room shiny? Oh, it's a scotch coated enamel. I know nothing about painting and I don't ever want to know. All I want to know is call Native Sun Painting at
941-350-6543.
All right, Josh, thanks for coming in, buddy. And I'll see you opening day, brother.
Yes, sir.
Back after this in the Aussie Joe Bucks Fan podcast.
JoeBucksFan.com presents Bucks Game Day.
Inside the 10, 3, 2, 1, dive! Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
With Ozzy, the sports junkie.
You're into that.
Insight and insanity.
Silly man, hope I never get back in there. I will kick your
all from the mind of Ozzy, the sports junkie.
Let's get this party started. How you feeling?
How it goes, Alan. You're listening to Ozzy the Sports Junkie right here on JoeBucksFan.com.
Shit show at Ray J. He joined me last week with a lot of insight. He called me yesterday from a field in Wisconsin. Leo Haggerty joins us along the phone lines. Leo, how are you on a Monday night, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm back here in sunny, hotter than hell Tampa. Mike, right. You know how that is.
And we're also joined by Bucks beat writer from the Sarasota Herald Tribune, Mr. Doug Fernandez. Dougie, how are you?
I was the beat writer from 1991. I want to tell you a little story about my first year on the job. It tells you how the Bucks were back then.
Yeah, you picked some slim years, buddy.
91 to 98. My first year was 1991. That was Richard Williamson's year. We're in the trail up at One Buck Place. It's after a game. He's going over the injury report. There were about five of us there, the late Don Banks being one of them. And he's going over the injury report, and he says, Kevin Murphy, linebacker Kevin Murphy, had an MRI today. I hope I spelled that right. That's what the Bucks were all about back then, Leo, as you know.
And plus, you dealt with some beautiful personalities like Ray Perkins, Richard Williamson. Williamson was like Robin Williams compared to Ray Perkins.
Listen, I dealt with Dexter Manley. His 1 year in Tampa Bay was my first year. Dexter Manley came up to me one day and he said, I'll tell you, Tampa, it's a seedy town, man. And when you got Dexter Manley telling you that, you know it's a seedy town.
Right, exactly. Right? You know, funny. I was listening to a Sirius satellite. They do the tour of all the camps, Leo, and it was about 3 weeks old. It was about a week into camp, maybe 3 or 4 days into camp. And boy, everyone was just cheery about the offensive line was looking good. The defense was a little behind. Rojo looking to get better. And boy, What do you make of that offensive line? If that's game ready, it's going to be one hell of a long season. I can't remember, and I've not been one of Winston's biggest proponents, but my God, he didn't stand a chance on Friday night at Ray J. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, Custer had a better chance than he did, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
It was terrible. And you know what, guys? The nice thing is, in the NFL, you never stay the same. You either get better or you get worse. And some people will say, oh, it can't get worse than five. Oh, yeah, it can. It can get worse. Trust me. But the problem was you had all five offensive linemen have a bad game. I mean, just a bad game. And the problem is, and I'm going to, I don't want to point a finger at somebody, but when Kappa couldn't handle the pass rush, now all four guys, they have to adjust. And by adjusting, they're getting beat. And the whole thing about offensive line play, guys, you got to win your battle. I mean, you got five guys blocking four guys or five guys, and they've got to win their battle.
And that's,
there were times Friday night, none of them won.
Exactly.
Leo, I mean, me and you go way back. This team has never had a dominant offensive line. They change out parts. They spend money. And there's leakage every year. I mean, is it coaching? I mean, are these guys not being coached up to NFL standards? I can't believe that. But every year it's the same thing, Leo.
But, and again, and Bill pretty much backed me up on this, because him being a New England Patriot juggernaut guy, it all starts and finishes with the offensive line. But the key is, you can't let the defensive line know what you're doing. If they know you're going to throw the ball, their athletes are better than your athletes on offense. And I think that's what happened the other night. I'm going to put this number out to you guys, 24. That's the magic number for the Bucs. If Winston has to throw it 25 times or more, they're going to lose.
Right, we saw
because
that.
Because that means he's probably going to get sacked five or six
well,
times.
That means, Leo, that the running game is doing its thing. You saw the numbers. With those kind of numbers, I don't think anybody could succeed with that kind of running game. The defensive line just pins back their ears.
Not only that, Leo, but you've got Rojo Jones, who's running the ball well. I didn't see a whole lot of Peyton Barber on Friday night. Why do they have Rojo back there returning kicks? I'd end that immediately.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to. It's a situation where you don't want your backup running back or possibly your first team running back there, and that's the biggest thing. And hey, guys, I'll tell you, the scary part is come Thursday night, the Bucs have one healthy quarterback. They had to sign Testaverde back to just to get he may be. Behind this offensive line, I'll tell you what, it was equal opportunity on Friday night. Their second team offensive line stunk it up. Their third team offensive. Yeah. I mean, I saw one play where the quarterback took one step back and he was hit. I mean, I'm going, wait a second. That guy came through the A-gap. Can't miss the A-gap.
They were throwing everything at him, Leo. They were blitzing everything in the kitchen sink, and the kitchen sink had two sacks. Griffin managed to get the win. For what that's worth, and it's worth nothing. This guy has 4 years. This will be his fifth year as the basic tackling dummy quarterback for this team. He's never taken a snap in the regular season. People forget he was the backup last year with Winston's suspension, so he was a turned ankle away from playing last year.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the Wildcat in there just to get through the game, because there's no way Winston's coming in that game.
It's a shame, Leo, as Leo Haggerty and Doug Fernandez join me.
Hey, can I ask Doug a question?
Go ahead. Sure. It's an open format.
Yes.
I mean,
hey, Leo, I want to ask you this question. Me and Ozzy have been talking about this. Him on his accuracy on the deep ball. I mean, if he doesn't have it by now, is he ever going to be able to get this?
Well, you know what, Doug? That's a great question. I don't know, because if you watch Brady. And he and Drew Brees are the master of the long ball, because they put it up in the air and they let the receiver adjust to it. I think Winston doesn't put enough arc on it.
Right.
And again, you got a guy 6'5" in Evans. You got a guy 6'3" in Godwin. I mean, these are the guys going deep. I mean, just put a lock on it and let them adjust their routes.
Well, maybe, Leo, you know, he's heard so much about he has no touch. He's been picked off. Maybe he's just afraid.
I'd heard
he's
going to
get. He's going to get it out there where his guy's going to get it, or no one's going to get
I'd
it.
I'd heard some talk, fellas. That I think it was from either Cam Brate or O.J. Howard saying that he's adjusted his deep ball, that it's got more of a downward pitch to it. I think, Leo and Doug, I think eventually, and I'm wishing the best for this kid this season. He didn't have a chance. He got his ass handed to him the other night. You've had to feel sorry. It was brutal. There was nothing.
He was strong in fear.
Absolutely, because he ain't got no protection at all. At what point do you have so much on your head that you forgot how you even played to begin with? It's his third coaching staff, his third quarterback coach. I'm sure each one has a new philosophy, a new game plan, and he might have forgot what it was that made him good at Florida State to begin with.
You know what, Oz? The thing is, playing quarterback is like riding a bicycle. Either you can do it or you can't.
Right,
do it.
And that's the difference between the Jamarcus Russells and the Tom Brady's and the guys who do turn it on.
Sometimes when the lights go on, the lights go off.
I don't mean to bring up the Patriots and the coaching and everything.
But he will.
But, well, as a perfect example, you know, the Patriots starting center, Dave Andrews, was an undrafted free agent from Georgia. Anybody could have had him. They draft him, and now he's all pro caliber. How come the Bucs cannot draft these street guys and coach them up into solid NFL players. I can't remember the last time they did this.
I posed that question to Leo last week. Who the hell is responsible for player development? And I mean, it's Sheldon Quarles. But we kind of debated that, whether how much pull he has and how much voice at the table he gets to put into it. You add up the salaries, Leo. There's a lot of money on that offensive line. Donovan Smith was franchise tagged. Kappa got a big, Marpeche signed a huge new contract. He got smoked like a salmon in that game. I mean, there's a lot of money on that. I dare to say they got more money on that line than the Patriots have on their front line.
Pretty close, that's for sure. Yeah. And again, it should be a little bit better. Again, the problem is, and Kappa couldn't pass block for whatever reason. I mean, he just wasn't getting beat. He was getting beat clean. And when you get beat, when you don't even get a glove on the guy, and I'll tell you what, I don't know if you saw the one time when they ran what we call a TE stunt, where the tackle comes in and goes outside,
right,
and the end goes right around. Dotson is pushing him. He's actually pushing him. Hey, go. He's coming. He didn't get it. It was like a swinging gate.
Yeah, the swinging doors, exactly. The back-to-back sacks, Leo. The first sack was the tackles. They just kitchen-doored it. And then second sack, they came straight through the guards. They damn near got him on the third time when they brought everybody. Everybody but Brian Sipe was out there in a Browns uniform.
Man, I'm telling you.
Well, guys, let's get down to brass tacks. If this offensive line cannot pass block and if they cannot run block, Winston has no shot this year.
If he has no shot, then he has no future here.
None.
They're not going to bring him in for a $21 million rebuild.
Tom Brady behind this old line would crumple like an accordion.
I mean, I hate to be doom and gloom. I try to be optimistic. And 2 weeks ago, I was feeling a little optimistic. But that game Saturday, Leo, I mean, if that's in front of a home crowd, the playbook is vanilla.
Right.
The football is subpar. Even the broadcast, I was telling Leo, the local signal down here in Sarasota, it was so screwed up. It was on a delay, and by delay, I mean it looped. Every sentence doubled, so the Thursday night can come and go. Let's hope when the San Francisco 49ers come calling, opening day, a 4 o'clock kick in front of a pretty big crowd. I don't know if it's sold out, but that they're gonna want to see what the Joe Redcap all the hype and hyperbole that's brought in with Bruce Arians.
Well, wait a minute. Like, Leo, we were talking about it earlier. On the plus side, I mean, the defensive backs, I mean, you can't tell anything by exhibition season, but does the defense look like it could be more aggressive on the Bulls?
Oh, yeah. And you know why, Doug? They're getting a pass rush.
But if you don't, but as you know, Leo, if you blitz like he likes to do, and they don't reach the quarterback, that's why the Bucs have never really blitzed much in the past, because I think they were afraid of getting really hung out there to dry, so they just rush with their base, you know.
Oh, I think you guys are all over that, and you know what? Mike Smith didn't become stupid overnight.
No.
He had a secondary. And his philosophy was very simple. We're going to make you go 10, 12, 14 plays. We're going to keep everything in front of you and hope you get a penalty or hope you make a mistake. The problem was teams weren't making mistakes and getting penalties. They were going down the field.
Leo Haggerty joins us from It's Sports Magazine.
That's me.
It's Sports Magazine, along with Doug Fernandes from the Sarasota Herald Tribune. Go ahead. How can folks reach you? And what's your Twitter handle as well, Leo?
I don't have a Twitter handle. I'm on Facebook.
How about MySpace?
I'm working up to Twitter eventually.
All right. Well, how about a P.O. box? Can anybody send you a postcard?
Yeah.
I'll write you a letter, Leo.
Yeah. I bet you will. The letter F for Fernandes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the big F. Yeah, that was a great point. It's not all gloom and doom. I thought the defensive backs, it looks like they might have some semblance. Hargaves looked like he came to play. MJ Stewart, Whitehead, there are some Deans that had a pretty good camp. He'll probably make the team. How about this Sean Bunting character? He's going to get cut any second.
Didn't Bruce Arians say last week, I can cut my team now? I don't know if I want to hear that.
You know what, Doug, I got to ask both of you this. Why is everybody thinking the 49ers are going to be so good? Garoppolo doesn't have anything of longevity to show me he's, you know, a top-notch quarterback. Well, and all Kyle Shanahan has done is cost Atlanta a Super Bowl because he wasn't smart enough to run the football.
When we spoke last week, Leo, I said I guarantee you the Bucs are favored in that, and I promise you they'll be favored 4 to 5 points. Might be even a little less now. But they'll be favored in that game. You know, Doug poo-pooed the fact as well. I don't think Garoppolo, he's had a one decent season. He missed all of last year. I don't see the 49ers coming in with Joe Montana and Roger Craig anymore. You get a win, and you go into Carolina now without maybe Cam Newton's not ready to go for game two, and who knows? I'm trying to stay positive.
Exactly. And you know what, guys? This team, with the way the schedule is set up, cannot go any worse than 2-1. More than two games in that six-game stretch.
Well, I mean,
it's not happening.
I mean, we've seen it before, guys. Everybody's looking at Bruce Arians' debut. They could come out against the 49ers hot day and just crap the bed.
Last year, a total anomaly to go into New Orleans with Ryan Fitzpatrick. The most points combined scored on opening day ever in NFL history. And then the bitch slapped the Super Bowl champion Eagles at home. It kind of spiraled out of control after that. Fitzpatrick turned into a pumpkin, and the season kind of went south from there. But, boy, it would be disheartening to bring in a guy like Arians with all the hype. Like I said, I listened to a three-week-old show from the NFL Network was in Tampa, and it was all shits and giggles, and everybody was happy. And now it's doom, gloom, and same old, same old. There's still a lot of talent. Let me ask you one guy on the defense, and that's Shaq Barrett, a linebacker who comes over from the Denver Broncos. What do you think of him? Is he going to make any kind of impact at all?
Oh, I think he will. You're going to see them rotate pretty much 7-8 guys in that 3-4 simply because they don't believe in having a guy out there the whole time. They want guys fresh. And, you know, the over-under with the 49ers is 90 minutes, and that's how long the lightning delay will be. I'm saying we won't see kickoff till at least 6 o'clock.
That's fine with me. I can't tell the 1 o'clock games can go away. That's one of the bonuses of being a decent team in the NFL. You don't get that 1 o'clock scorcher because, my God, I don't know how I used to do it, Leo. I used to have season tickets. I'd sit out there like an idiot in September with my shirt off, just frying like an egg. My Irish-Swedish ass just sizzling. If you smell bacon in the late 80s at Tampa Stadium, it was me. So we'll see how it goes. We'll limp through. I'm sorry. I think they're downplaying that injury to Blaine Gabbert. Why was he holding his wrist if his shoulder was dislocated? He's done for the season. I can't see. They're going to have to go out and bring in a veteran.
Patriots will be releasing Brian Hoyer. Believe it.
Buy your Super Bowl tickets today, then, if it's Hoyer. Or is Griffin ready to go? Is 5 years enough in training camp for him to maybe see the field?
If he sees the field, it's a dire situation.
Well, then why is he on the team? He's basically a tackling dummy. He came into camp last year. He put on a lot of muscle. I thought he looked great in preseason. Man, I'm ready for opening day, as bad as it might be.
Well, gentlemen, let's lay the cards right on the table.
All right.
If this team cannot run the ball,
they're screwed.
They're 5-11. They're 5-11 again.
Then what do they do, Leo?
5-11. Are you generous?
Do you drop a bomb on it? What do you do at that point?
I'll tell you what. I kind of pissed Arians off the first press down.
I noticed. No,
I said, Coach, can you win in the NFL with a substandard running game? I didn't say, you know, the box. I said, could anybody win?
You got your point.
He goes, we don't have a substandard running game. We're going to run the ball.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I really think they need to. They need to commit to the run. The pass should be secondary.
All right, Leo Haggerty, you're the man, and thanks for your insight.
Hey, on that note, we got to get off.
Yeah, we are.
As usual, it's been a pleasure.
Anyways, Leo. All right, Leo Haggerty, Doug Fernandez. Thanks, guys, and next week, it's for real. Ozzy the Sports Junkie on the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast. Don't forget, you can check me out at OzzyTheSportsJunkie.com. A plethora of live, archived, 20 years, some of the greatest and worst hits, and more to come. So thanks for tuning in, as always. See you next week on Joe Bucks Fan.